Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to A Time for Justice. A Time for Justice is a show on the Elevated Places Network, and we would like to thank you all for tuning in to A Time for Justice. This show discusses legal and current events in roundtable discussions with legal minds. And tonight we have a special guest. We're going to have someone talk to us about health. So it won't just be legal tonight. We're talking about solutions. And so, you know, usually our show, we discuss this country's centuries-long failures to apply, uphold, and enforce the law and the overall failure of the legal system to give justice and the negative impacts that these failures have had on Black people and their Black families. Ultimately, we want fair dealing. We want justice under the law. But all too often, this is not the actions that we see. Our guest tonight will not make those excuses for racist conduct that is really often seen, and it actually distracts from the truth. And the truth is the path to justice and equal protection. So let's talk about just, fair, and equitable solutions, which are in the best interest of the people. Let's remove the distractions. My name is Sister Pamela Muhammad, and I am an attorney, and I am the host of A Time for Justice. And again, we're on the Elevated Places Network. So thank you once again for tuning in. And tonight's show, we just have a very exciting show. We're going to discuss, we're going to have a discussion actually on health and the law. And we're going to talk about how this is, these both of these areas provide keys for self-help. So I wanted to start off by saying, what is a key? And so we know that a key is something that provides a meaning, gives some kind of understanding to something, and that's what we want to do tonight. We want to give understanding for self-help purposes. And so tonight, let me go ahead and open up the mic and introduce our guests. I'm going to introduce them first. The first guest that we have the pleasure to have with us tonight is Dr. Akili Muhammad, and he is affectionately known as Dr. Akili. Dr. Akili attended Meharry Medical School in Nashville, Tennessee. He completed a residency at the University of Texas at Houston, and Dr. Akili practiced in a federally funded health facility in Houston prior to opening his own practice in 2003. He goes on to tell us that being traditionally trained in allopathic Western medicine, he has concluded that a medical society with the best technologies, the most doctors, meditations, and medical facilities is not producing adequate solutions to restore and heal the body. So, as such, Dr. Akili now studies How to Eat to Live by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and alternative therapies designed to provide a holistic approach in restoring the body through nutrition and alternative therapies. And I'm going to just go on and say that Dr. Akili began offering a series of how-to seminars designed to educate and improve mental, emotional, and physical health. And he actively educates society by speaking at schools, religious, and community organizations. Dr. Akili continues to take time out of his schedule to address restoring your health in your kitchen and lifestyle, for he believes that prevention is worth much more than Dr. Beals. So let me go ahead and open up Dr. Akili's mic and give him the greetings. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Akili.
Walaikum salam, sister. How are you?
I am fine, sir, by Allah's grace and mercy, and thank you for taking out your time from your schedule tonight and being one of our special guests, Time for Justice.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Pleasure is ours. Honor is ours. And so we want to bring up attorney Warren F. Muhammad. And Brother Warren is, as and he's been on our show many times, so I'm going to kind of truncate his long executive bio, because this brother has been around as an attorney since 1979. Brother Warren is an attorney, graduated from Thurgood Marshall School of Law, and he's excelled in the practice of personal injury, criminal defense, and business litigation. And really with that, I'm going to open up the mic, and we're going to talk more about what Brother Warren does. Tonight, we want to really highlight how Brother Attorney Warren has extensive personal practice in personal injury, wrongful death, medical mal, civil litigation in both federal and state courts. And so I'm going to go ahead and open up the mic for Brother Attorney Warren and greet him. Assalamu alaikum, Brother
alaikum.
Warren. How are you? Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Wa alaikum
salam.
I'm fine, yes. By Allah's grace. Wa alaikum salam. So happy to be here.
Yes, sir. We are so happy to have you with us tonight. Thank you again for returning and taking your time, Brother Warren. So now this is a topic really Brother Warren and I have discussed, and, you know, something near and dear to his, because, again, we're talking about knowledge is key, and we want to talk about how to protect ourselves. So, again, the topic of discussion on health, and we're going to talk about the law and the keys to self-help, because, you know, we're living in a time where knowledge is a key to helping us protect ourselves. I know last week on the show we were talking about some issues, but one of the things we brought out was how the American Bar Association, there was an article about lawyers being crisis managers sometimes. That's something that we do, and we certainly are living in a crisis time right now. So tonight's show, we wanted to bring two perspectives and on what's going on. And we know in any crisis, especially with this COVID-19 pandemic and this pestilence from heaven, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has explained us, one of the most important things that we do is protect our health. So we're going to talk about Dr. Akili. He's going to give us some, you know, discuss the protecting of our health, and you know, I just think this is so important. And then Brother Warren, you know, of course you're here, you're going to talk to us about, you know, this area of law known as medical health related law, medical malpractice, where there, you know, sometimes it's an area where we deal with injuries, you know, acts, you know, that are caused, and they result in sometimes very catastrophic damages. And I just think it's so interesting because, Brother Akili, I want to go ahead and start the conversation with you, because we're talking about protecting ourselves, and we know that diseases are sometimes caused by things that we do to ourselves. And so I thought about you when I saw an article or just a blurb in the final call, of course, in the COVID section, make sure everybody gets their final call. But this particular paragraph said obesity is the most significant risk factor for severe COVID illness. And so, you know, it went on to talk about what had the government done in the past 2 years to mitigate that. And, you know, this article in the final call said they locked down people in their homes, closed gyms, and offer free donuts, pizza, hot dogs, and french fries, weed, and beer, you know, to those getting the jab. So I really wanted to ask you, Dr. Akili, could you open up this conversation about health and wellness and good health and you know, what everybody is wanting to to know, talk to us about good health and I guess your perspectives on this issue.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I think the point that you just brought up is an excellent point to take us back
to
the July 4th criterion message by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan when he said, why would you trust, I'm paraphrasing now, not quoting, but in essence he was asking us, why would we trust somebody and their treacherous past and they have more of an ability with the technology to trick us now than they have in the past and we've never been able to trust them. And so that point that you brought up is what I discuss with people on a regular basis. I say, if the government was truly concerned about the people, we've been in a pandemic. It'll be 2 years, so-called officially, right, by the end of this month. And there could have been diabetics that no longer have diabetes. We could have had many millions of people with high blood pressure, and it could be under control by now. If the government was truly interested in taking care of their people, there would have been plans on making sure people knew how to deal with their comorbidities, improve those comorbidities, and to get the majority of people into the position of having mild disease and getting over it, which is what the majority of the population of the world has done. So, you know, there are aspects, you know, of course, this show being a show about justice. Well, at the end of the day, I don't know a person that has ever come to seek my help that didn't know there was something that they could be doing. Everybody knows I should be drinking more water. I should be eating more fruits and vegetables. I should be exercising more. I should get more weight. Whatever it is, dealing with my stress, whatever those issues are, everybody knows that they can do better. And we're in a pandemic, and you haven't taken the time in almost 2 years to be able to give a testimony on what you have done to improve your health. So we're not being just to ourselves. It's got to start with self, right? We have to start with self and be just to ourselves before we'll ever think that somebody else is going to be just to us. And then lastly, the the reality of a pandemic and what we have seen has to come down to the ability of us to find the sense of this. And so, again, we have to go back to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who called this a pestilence from heaven. Many people claim Christianity. Many people claim Judaism. Many people claim Islam. But the real question is your life based on the scriptures that you say you believe in? And if they are, and you know this is from God, and this reality that we're living in now is an act of God, then the first thing you have to do to be just to yourself is accept God and start trying to orient your life as if you do believe in what you say you believe in. And that within itself, I don't know how much our listeners are paying attention to the weather around the world, but there are more active volcanoes right now, and there have been more active volcanoes within the last few months than there have been in decades. There have been more floods in the last few months than there have been in decades. There has been snow in amounts in America and other places that hasn't been seen since the 1800s. So I don't know what people are thinking, but if they don't start turning their attention to the scriptures and realizing that the reality that we're living in right now is being controlled and manipulated by the God himself, then you can't be just to yourself, because unless you put God in the picture, you're going to lose every time in a time like we're living in.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's real talk. We really need to hear that from you, Dr. Akili. And so I wanted to go ahead, brother. Yes?
Yes, Sister Pam.
Go right ahead, Brother Attorney Warren. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. It might be a little early for me to be jumping in, but
no. Make your opening statement, sir. Go ahead, please do, Brother Warren.
I don't really have an opening statement. I have a question that I wanted to ask my dear brother and friend, Dr. Akili, about, because, based on something he said. And he was talking about the agenda, you know, of the powers that be, and the fact that for the amount of time that this pestilence or pandemic has been here, how we could have done so much to alleviate things like diabetes and what have you. And I wanted to ask the doctor if he would give a opine on how we see pretty much all day, every day, ads running on TV about different prescription medications. And they'll run an ad about a medicine. They'll tell you, as a viewing audience, ask your doctor about this medication. In other words, you go and start asking the doctor, can you give me this medicine I saw on TV? But it just occurred to me when the doctor was talking how from education of the public concerning their health, it's one thing, you know, pretty much everybody knows there's diabetes, but we don't see any kind of educational ads about the symptoms of diabetes, the way to treat diabetes, way to address it, things that lead to it, stages like pre-diabetes or metabolic syndrome. And Doc, I just wanted to know if you had any kind of comment on the different agenda or priorities that are being placed in terms of educating the people health-wise.
Yes, I think that's an excellent point, my brother, because, you know, I've been saying to many people throughout this pandemic and prior that anytime you are making a decision in your life, which we are all doing when you choose a particular doctor, when you accept a medication, you are making a decision for your life. And if you make those decisions in fear, those decisions will always be suboptimal. And so when we're talking about prescriptions being basically sold to the public, I see that as a problem because people don't have the ability to truly understand what it is that these medications are doing. They don't understand the processes that are happening in the body when you take most medications. Most medications are a blocker or an inhibitor or a reversal of some process that occurs in the body, which means that you're turning the body against the way Allah made it. That doesn't make sense. But at the end of the day, I think all of us have seen 2 years of evidence that the medical system is absolutely broken, as bad as a glass, you know, being dropped on a hard floor. It is in pieces. It's in shambles. And so although the typical person doesn't have the ability, even if they look up the medication and go online and start reading about it, you don't know enough about the enzymatic processes and the systems of the body to truly understand what this medication is doing to your body. But then the flip side of that, because of the fact that the medical system is broken and most of these doctors out here are arrogant and really don't care truly about you. They care about how fast they get you in and out so they can make that money. And so they dictate to you and they want you to do exactly what they say, and they're not going to take the time to give you things that you can do to improve your situation and get off the medications. So to some degree, I don't think it's a bad idea for people to try to educate themselves before they go into a doctor's office because the system is so corrupt. And so that's kind of the balance of the way that I look at it, my brother. But it's a completely broken system, and to continue to suggest to people for any way to trust a system that's completely broken, I think would be insanity.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Beautiful. Thank you so much for that, Dr. Akili. Very important point. Because as you're talking about a broken system, as I bring on Brother Warren, and Brother Warren, did you have any other questions? Please feel free, both of you all, to speak at will. This is a roundtable discussion. You know, we just kind of want to keep it moving. And so, Brother Warren, was there any other something that you wanted to interject at this time for Dr. Akili? Yeah.
No, ma'am. That question came to me as he was speaking, you know, about that, that all this time and money being spent to educate people to go and ask for a medication, but no efforts being made to educate people about medical conditions that they may actually be experiencing. You know, I just saw the imbalance as he was speaking.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. And so as we, you know, bring in the part, the balance with the protection that you offer, Brother Warren, because as we talk about the medical negligence, we talk about any type of case where there's causation, there's an act, there's a negligent act, intentional, or and it causes harm to people. And you got to be able to prove that there's some harm being caused. And then you've got to be able to show that there are some damages. This is, I think, one of the areas that you wanted to talk to us about. And I wanted to open it up by noting Dr. Ridgely's article in this week's Final Call, where he talked about, in his article entitled How There's a Complaint Filed Against COVID-19 Vaccine Pushers in International Criminal Court, one of the things he brought out was how autopsies, which are a way to prove what people died from, you know, which I know is a necessary part of bringing a case, you got to have some causation. Dr. Ridgely raised in this article that autopsy rates had fallen from 25% to less than 5% over the past four decades. And now it seems that hospitals are flat out refusing to do them. He said the price of an independent autopsy runs from $3,000 to $5,000. You know, and this was as it related to some of these doctors who are starting to see that different findings from the vaccine-induced injury. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there, but talk to us, Brother Warren, about what you do as an attorney when there's some type of catastrophic injury that someone has suffered.
Yes, ma'am. My law practice, as it relates to health, centers on two areas. One is in personal injury, which includes wrongful death, and then the other is medical negligence, which may also include wrongful death. So to start with the first one in terms of personal injury, those are your cases involving injuries suffered as a breach or a violation of a duty owed by someone else, such as not to run a stop sign and run into your car with their cars and cause you an injury. Not to operate a crane or something and drop a ball on top of your work area, you know, causing the injury, things like that. Well, there's a duty by one person to abide by certain standards, and they breach that duty, and it results in an injury to the other person. So I handle those type of cases, and that's in the area what's called personal injury. And in medical malpractice, it's like a subcategory of personal injury. So we represent people who have been injured in crashes and car wrecks. Sometimes it's a product case where a car has a design defect or a mechanical defect, which is a product liability case. And in those cases, there's something in particular I want to address, and Dr. Keeley, I think, can chime in on this as well, and that is the power and the influence of insurance companies. One of the problems we have in the personal injury area is that people may get hurt and not be able to afford to go to a doctor, or some may have insurance, and if they go, the insurance company quite often will dictate or determine what type of medical treatment they're able to get. And I've heard many doctors say they would like to run a particular test, but the insurance company won't cover it. So that kind of has an effect on the quality of treatment that a person can get. And then when we are attempting to negotiate just compensation for their injuries, the insurance companies will try to impose their standard on what is a reasonable medical bill that a person, that a doctor can charge for his treatment. And I deal with this almost every day on practically every case I have, where we will get medical records and medical bills from the treating physician, and it may be $10,000 worth of medical bills, and the insurance company on the other side will tell us that's overbilling. And sometimes the bill may be, to a degree, you know, over what might be the norm, but they'll reduce it so drastically, it takes almost all of the compensation away from the person that's been injured. And they're basically dictating the settlement of the case. And that's a real problem that I see in dealing with the personal injury in terms of us trying to get fair compensation for injuries. And maybe Dr. Keeley can opine in terms of how insurance companies affect the delivery of medical treatment. I do know some doctors. I know some doctors won't take a case that's covered by Medicare. You know, because they can't keep the doors open. So.
Yeah, you know, I would agree, my brother. I mean, I think many doctors stay away from that because there's not the immediate payment. You know, a lot of times you have to deal with so many issues of paperwork and making sure things are documented correctly and all those type of things. So a lot of doctors try to stay away from those type of situations with personal injury and accidents and all those type of things. And then, of course, you have some doctors that's what they specialize in. They try to stick with that and they get good at being able to document things. And so they'll have that as a majority or the whole of their practice. So it really just depends on, you know, what a person's experience is. But, you know, you kind of brought something to my mind, bro, when we're also talking about, you know, the wrapping this up in the cloth of justice. You know, you hear a lot of times when you look at these police videos or you see other people in public, and the lay person is always talking about, well, I'm going to sue you for such and such. I'm going to sue you, police, for whatever, whatever, whatever. Most of the time, people don't even realize what that means and don't even know the truth about whether or not this experience that you're having is a process that you could bring a suit, right? Like we're talking about these vaccines and these things. The government has given pharmaceutical companies carte blanche. As far as vaccines, you can't sue a pharmaceutical company. You can't sue the government. You can't sue a doctor when it comes to vaccines. And so there is just an ignorance when it comes to, you know, these two fields in a lot of ways, which I think is important, because when people come to hear us, they should leave with a little more knowledge about these type of subjects so they can be more equipped with the ability to handle situations in their life. So I just wanted to mention that.
Yes. No, that's very important, because as we talk about, you know, causation and we talk about traditional tort, there's never been a time where we don't have liability for damages done as a result of a product. I mean, they've had the Vaccine Injury Protection Act, which was, I think, back in 86. But then under this PREP Act, as everyone is knowing, with these emergency use authorizations, you know, there's a much lower standard, and there's no real liability. So if you get injured, like you said, Dr. Keeley, if a car hits someone and they're injured, a person is going to get some kind of damages and they're going to be able to get compensation. But in these, in this particular situation with these emergency use authorizations and these vaccines, now we see they want to shoot up our little children. It's just really a horrible, the breakdown of the health system, as you say, is just complete. And it reminds me, does it bring you anything to you, Dr. Keeley, because I know you're big on the book Medical Apartheid. You taught our children about that book. I have to give you a shout out for that, because Dr. Akili has, through ever since I've known him, he's always offered education to the children. You know, he's been an instructor. So in that medical apartheid, has any this type of experimental drugs or, you know, just what was done to black people in the name of health care, does anything come to your mind as being particularly egregious that you want to share?
I mean, it's an amazing point that you bring up that book. I mean, I think the problem with the black doctor, the black healthcare worker of today's time, is that they haven't taken time to read that book, because that book makes it very difficult to pick a story or to pick a situation, right?
That's right.
And that book makes the Tuskegee experiment seem like such a minuscule thing to for everybody to mention. That may be the most popular experimentation that was done on black people that got out, but there have been many more sinister, many that caused much more damage to people than the Tuskegee experiment. And they're just way too numerous to mention. But you know, it is an absolute atrocity for any person, in my humble viewpoint, to trust a government that has notoriously and historically destroyed you and your people. And then all of a sudden, because a pandemic comes, now all of a sudden they care and have concern about you as a poor nigga. They treated you just like that all of your life, your forefathers as poor niggas. But then in 2021, all of a sudden these people have an interest of giving you a free vaccine and getting you healthy during a pandemic. I mean, that is one of the most insane ideas I've ever even considered in my life. But at the same time, it's a show about how ignorant we are. I don't care what your so-called educational level is, right? You could be a lawyer, a doctor, a PhD, a master's, whatever case you can be. But when you watch a person's daily activities, right, and we're talking about going to Hadid to live, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talking about doctors living the same time as their patients, well, doesn't that tell you that the doctor doesn't have the capability of taking care of you if he dies like you die, with the same medical problems that you die with? It's a fool that would follow another person that's going into the same ditch you're going into. So again, you know, regardless of what your so-called educational level is, black, brown, indigenous people in this country are walking blindly and are not heeding the signs that we need to quickly make some different decisions and go in a different direction.
Yes,
I probably answered some questions.
No, that's thank you so much. And for the listeners, please, if you have a question or a comment, please press the number 1 to get into the host queue, and we will take your question or your comment. Thank you. We have a comment. I want to go ahead and take a question right now from Sister Darcel. Let me open up the mic. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Darcel. How are you?
Oh, alaikum salam. I'm doing well. Thank all praises due to Allah. I have a couple of questions and a comment, but my question is, if the doctor has ever heard of a book called Emerging Viruses? I can't remember, Moskowitz, I think he wrote that book.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you read that book?
I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but it is on the list.
Oh, well, I had a chance to read it. It was, gosh, back in the late 80s. That was a book that was totally frightening, talking about how they're meshing all of these, I will just say voodoo in a test tube. And I just didn't know if you read about that particular book. And most specifically, I have a son who just caught COVID. He doesn't have the vaccines. and I refuse to have that happen. And I'm wondering what course of action can I take, because I've had relatives and friends who flew from the West Coast to East who won't visit me because I did not take the we did not take the vaccines. So that's just a concern. What I should do at this point? We're all the rest of us were all negative, but that was frightening because I tried to keep everything available that we would not be taking any vaccines, and we still won't. And I think the whole medical, really pharmaceutical apartheid is what they keep pushing is pharmaceutical care. And that's just my humble opinion. But I just wanted to know what would you suggest? And he's a young man, 23 years old.
Yeah, so the first thing that I would say is, you know, it's, of course, paramount for us to work on making sure our immune systems are strong and have confidence that we're going to be okay, because that's the first thing, is to think positive.
Yes, sir.
But I think it's going to be relatively impossible unless somebody stays in a real remote place where they don't come in contact with a lot of people. I think it's going to be relatively impossible for people that even with sheltering in place and going to the grocery store and just doing some basic things to not get exposed. So I'm saying that because I don't want people to think that, you know, I did something wrong or I'm not doing the right things. That's not necessarily the case. The case sometimes is that we just get our bodies inundated, and this Omicron variant of the COVID-19 is more infective than the other strains. It is not as severe, but it's more infective, meaning that it's easier to get us sick. So I just wanted to mention that first. The second thing that I'd like to say is that I would think that it's very important to educate people to know that when you get infected with a virus, the fever is the body's attempt to kill the virus.
Okay.
The runny nose is the attempt to cleanse the nasopharynx system. The coughing is an attempt to cough out the mucus that has collected the infection after the body kills it. The headaches, the body aches, is all the processes are the processes of the body that is killing the virus and then removing it from the body. So let's not get ourselves caught up in the old foolish idea that doctors do when you go to see them. You have a fever, they give you something to bring down your fever. If you have a headache, they give you something to take your headache away. If you have a runny nose, they give you something to stop your nose from running. If you have a cough, they give you something to stop your coughing. Well, how are you ever going to solve the problem if you continue to stop all the processes that the God that we serve put in the body to solve the process? So that's the first thing, is we have to let our body do its work. Your son is at the age where I would not be concerned about a fever seizure. That's what you worry about in little children. So if he has a fever, as long as he just doesn't feel horrible, let that fever burn that virus and kill it. And then his body will start to get rid of it out of his body, which will be the cough and the stuffiness and runny nose and all those type of things. During this process, the most important thing is to stay hydrated. Make sure you're drinking enough water, keeping the water in your system. If a person is not hungry, which I have seen many people do, they just don't have any appetite, don't worry about it. Adults can fast,
That
will help the process go away faster. And then the things that we want to do to get the body back recovered is to go right back and do the things that we should be doing to prevent. And that's your high vitamin C foods, your high vitamin D foods, good nutrition in general, which should include navy beans, which should include a lot of fruit, which should include the cruciferous vegetables, the broccoli, the cauliflower, the asparagus, the Brussels sprouts, the cabbage. Stay away from all those green leafy vegetables. That's a lie that those are good for you. The cruciferous vegetables are the good ones. Fruits should have seeds, and they should be organic, because we're trying to get the best foods back in the body to get the body over the infection and then to build it back up so that you don't get sick again. And lastly, I'll say this for everybody that is listening. I have put at least two or three articles and videos on my Facebook website, the THEE Ultimate Wellness Group. And there are articles that are discussing that once a person catches the COVID infection, fights it, and gets over it, your immune system is in much better shape. In some studies, they're saying 12 times as powerful your immune system is than a person who got the vaccine. So we don't have to continue to believe propaganda. We don't have to continue to give in to propaganda. In all honesty, my sister, I've had the same thing happen to me. I've had family members tell me that I couldn't come to their house because I wasn't vaccinated. And I was like, well, thank you for telling me, because I didn't want to come if that was the ramification anyway. If I never see you again, I'm not mad at you. You made a decision, and I'm making a decision.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to take the vaccine. And if the vaccine is required to come in your house, then I'll avoid your house like I'll avoid everything else on the planet Earth that's going to require me to have a vaccine. I'm not going to turn my back on the God that I serve and the messenger that gave me my instructions. So if anybody wants to try to come in between me and that stance, they'll lose every time. And so all we're doing is growing ourselves stronger in our relationship with Allah. And these are the type of tests and these are the type of tribulations that are going to make us stronger and give us the ability to overcome this and come out on the other side better. So I pray that I answered your question, sister.
You did. Thank you so kindly. I appreciate you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Sister Pam, are we here?
Yes, we better go ahead and talk about something else, my brother.
Okay, Bucky. I wanted to just, for those who are listening, I just wanted to give a testimony as to what Brother Keely just said, because I caught the virus when it first came out. Like, it was like March of 2020, and probably not many people even knew what to say or do about it. And I think that was, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that may have been the most virulent strain of it in the beginning. And you know, I had a rough ride for a while, but I overcame it and returned to health. And then about a year later, I was exposed to one of the bands at a funeral, but I didn't have a difficult time hardly at all. I think I may have had a headache for a day or two and a little lingering cough thereafter, and it just eventually went away. I didn't have much of a difficult time at all the second time around. So I guess that's probably attributed to the fact that I had the immunities on my body, remember, you know, knew how to deal with it.
Absolutely. I was going to say that the alpha variant, the first one, I think it was because it's new that a lot of people thought it was so tough. And, of course, you know, the whole process was kind of a novel thing for us. But the Delta was the one that had the worst outcomes, right? So it killed a higher percentage of people of those who were infected. So they called that one the most deadly. But Alpha was definitely, since we've been in this pandemic, second. But your statement is absolutely correct, bro. The fact that you had it the first time, you overcame it with just, you know, using your body and things to boost your immune system. Your second exposure was very mild because your immune system is absolutely prepared to deal with any type of coronavirus. And as my sister brought up the book, Emerging Viruses, whatever they did to emerge this virus and to gain the function of this virus, your body still will be able to look at the commonality of coronaviruses. No matter how many come, no matter how many years down the line, your body will have a faster and a stronger response than if you had not been infected. So that's a very excellent point that you brought up.
Yeah, excellent point. And, you know, go ahead, Brother Warren, because I think I've been over here muted, so I'm back now. Go right ahead, Brother Warren.
I did have one other quick question for the doctor concerning, and he and I have talked about this, but I know there's a lot of believers that, tune in and listen. And it's from a dietary standpoint, from the standpoint of the whole fresh milk from the cow, because so many people are out there trying to push, you know, the veganism and telling us that milk will make you have mucus and when you're sick and all these kind of things. Doc, do you have any comment or opinion on us drinking the raw milk?
Yes, well, you know, the reality is that we should never get ourselves confused, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has absolutely given us the type of guidance that we need. So I will answer that question in three ways. The first one is, you can never go wrong doing what Allah suggested. And in the Quran, it says milk is agreeable to the drinker. It didn't say milk is agreeable to the drinker if you're healthy. It says milk is agreeable to the drinker. So whether you're sick or healthy, it is good for you. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says in How to Eat to Live that milk produces mucus. And he talked about it from the perspective of having children drink it when they have asthma, and he gave some other suggestions. Milk is something that causes mucus in the body. But just like everything else we do in life, we have to find a balance. People that I've been working with through this pandemic that drink milk regularly, I suggested they decrease how much milk they drink and maybe just do it a couple of times a week. But the benefits that are in milk can help your body from a nutritional perspective to help build your immune system. So we have to have that balance. Yes, we should be understanding that you typically cannot find milk in grocery stores. So this is something that we have to either find the person who is doing this, or we have to go to the farms ourselves. There should be a set of questions that we ask to make sure that the milk is good enough for us to drink. And once we do those type of investigations, understand that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad placed three foods at the top of the food list that could give us longevity and the best health. He didn't include a lot of things, as he told us. The fewer foods you eat, the better your health. Those three foods are the navy bean, milk, and wheat bread. So please, brothers and sisters, let's not get ourselves confused with mixing up the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings with other things like veganism and people that don't know what the hell they're talking about. Yes, milk is good, and yes, it does cause mucus, so just decrease it a little bit during a pandemic or during a time when you're sick, but it's still one of the best top three foods on the planet Earth. And it should be in your dietary regimen if you plan on being healthy and making it through this pandemic.
Thank you, bro, for clearing that up. That's where I'll stay at. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay, and we're going to take the next caller. Let's see, we have Sister Ula has a comment.
Yes, ma'am.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ula.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Attorney Pamela. I have a comment to Dr. Akili. My master's is in medical fraud and abuse, and I studied so much trichinology in that course about what you're saying now. Now, I'm asking you, as a professional, how can I utilize the skills I received with my master's to not only aid my people, but generate income? That is my comment. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Alaikum salam. Well, my sister, you know, I think what I have learned over my transition from what I learned in medical school to trusting and having the foundation of How to Eat to Live is that we first of all have to understand what it is that we say we believe, right? So the fact that you learned what you learned in their schools, I think now is time, and I'm not saying that you do this, but I'm just kind of putting this out there for you or maybe anybody else. But I would look at what about what I learned can I relate and streamline based on what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan have taught us. Why am I saying that? Because the minister told us that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him and taught him that no matter what size the book is, the number of pages of the book that you learn in these schools of so-called higher education, only a small portion of it is the truth, and the rest of it is lies and truth mixed up with falsehood, right? So that is very important that we have an idea to find out what is the reality of what I learned and how can I connect it to what I say I believe. And then I would say that people like myself and you have to co-join, have conversations, figure out where we can marry this information to help educate our people. Because at the end of the day, our job is not to, you know, I had a conversation. I just want to share this with you all really quickly.
Go right ahead. Yes,
I've had a really tough January so far. I've had some people reach out to me who have some very serious medical problems. And the unfortunate reality is that a lot of times people get diagnosed with cancer and they go see an oncologist. The oncologist pretty much murders them. The doctor that diagnosed them pretty much murdered them with those words without enough compassion. And then they come to me after they've gone to these murderers. Mm-hmm. It's such a difficult job for me to try to give and deliver a clear message when you've gone to somebody that's pretty much murdered your mind. And then I kind of just sat back and I thought about the fact that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was amongst us teaching us for 40-plus years. And now the minister has been amongst us and teaching us for 40-plus years. Can we imagine what it's like for a man to meet with God, know that the information, the plan that you put together, the way that you're teaching your people is the best in the history of this world, but yet they still fall off, yet they still don't listen, yet they still will fall on their enemies' words and their enemies' teaching? So I have to be patient. I have to kind of sit back and say, well, you know, maybe I'm going through this difficulty because I am following those that I'm supposed to be following. And so I'm saying all that to say, my sister, is that our duty is the delivery of a clear message. We don't have the ability to control what people are going to do, but we are in control of how we deliver the message so that our people have the opportunity to understand who we are dealing with, what we are dealing with, and how we make it through these situations. So if you don't mind, sister, reach out to me and let's talk about that more offline, because I can't sit here and tell you that I have all the answers, but I would love to sit and speak with you and get a little more in depth on what it is that you learned. And maybe you and I will have to do some shows together as we try to figure out how you can turn your knowledge into some chips in your pocket.
And I'd like to add in to the sister from the vantage point that I work in as an attorney. In addition to personal injury, I do medical negligence cases. And there is a whole industry of professionals that support people such as myself as an attorney in bringing these cases to justice on behalf of people that have been harmed or injured and sometimes catastrophically injured and sometimes killed by negligence of doctors. And as an attorney, I have to rely on people from different disciplines to educate me on what I need to know to be successful in bringing that lawsuit or bringing that claim. I didn't go to medical school. I went to law school. But yet I have to learn medical terminology as it relates to the particular case. So I need doctors. And there are many doctors who abhor what is happening to patients in these institutions, and they're willing to testify as experts as to the standard of care that was and whether that standard was breached. But I also rely on other doctors just to give me an expert opinion or give me a consultation, explain to me what it is I'm reading in these records. I have to rely on people with nursing backgrounds to explain to me what the nurses should have done, you know, and what the proper billing was. So if you have any type of educational background as it relates to medical, there's opportunities not just on the medical side but on the legal side as well, depending on, you know, what you've learned and to what extent you gain expertise. There are whole industries available to help in that fight for justice as we take it from the legal and the medical side.
That's right. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. I'm going to go ahead and take this next caller's question. And if anyone has a question or a comment that they would like to ask either Dr. Akili or Brother Warren, Attorney Warren, please press the number one to get into the host queue. Sister Brenda, you have a question.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I do. I'm waiting.
Why next slime, Sister Brenda?
Listen, I was, excuse me, I wanted to ask Brother Akili two questions. The first one is based on something I heard today. I was listening to the educational channel, which is in Dallas, is Channel 13, and there was a Swedish doctor on there who was speaking about long COVID. I've never heard of long COVID before. And I did listen, of course, to what he had to say about it, but I want to see what Brother Akili has heard and knows about it. And the other thing is that I also buy, I don't buy raw milk, but I buy milk from Brahms, from a dairy store, I guess you might say. And it's sold as RBGH free. And I wanted to know, obviously it's something that's not supposed to be in milk if they're saying that they don't have it. So anything that the doctor, good doctor, has to say to about either of those, long COVID or milk RBGH free, would be appreciated. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, long COVID is what they consider a long recovery process, or what I call the rehabilitation process after COVID. So as I've said on previous shows that I've done, this infection and the way that it attacks the body is unlike anything we've ever seen. And what I have noticed during this pandemic is that the number of days or the severity of the disease that a person has, for instance, my brother was in the hospital for 9 days. And after he got out of the hospital and started his recovery process, he literally couldn't walk up the steps to his upstairs bedroom until 5 months later. And then it was even more time before he really got back to a place where he could say, okay, I feel like I'm back to normal. I think that was maybe like 9 or 10 months later. Brother Warren just mentioned about his recovery phase, and I know a couple of other people in Houston that once they got over the actual infection, you know, they went back to, Brother Warren went back to doing some exercises, got a bike, started riding, and another friend of mine was just going on walks with his wife. And they concluded that they were nowhere near being back to normal once they started trying to get back to some type of physical activity. So we're talking about a completely new reality that we don't have a lot of experience with, very similar to HIV. When HIV was rampaging the black community, that's when I was coming through medical school, and I had a patient who I saw go through almost every single diagnosis that would give you the reality that you went from HIV into AIDS. And, you know, we're talking about at the time I was learning this, it was 10 years after HIV was so-called found in San Francisco. But the point that I'm getting to is that it was many, many years before we truly understood how HIV affected the human body. We know that HIV is not a normal virus from nature. we know that COVID is not a normal virus from nature. So we're learning a lot of things as we're going. But yes, COVID long haul syndrome is real, and it affects different people differently. I had a very young man that I was did a consultation with today that is got infected in July of last year, but his symptoms lasted until the end of August. And here it is all these months later, he's still having some problems with his lungs. Now, some of that is because he's been trusting these idiot doctors that are putting him on all these medications instead of giving him keys to help his body improve. But at the end of the day, I'm saying that's a pretty long time frame of symptoms that he had. And so he's had these symptoms this many months later, because that's kind of what we're seeing, is that people are taking a long time to get over it. And as I said before, the reason why I answered the previous sister's question like I did is for that reason, that whatever we are doing to try to prevent ourselves from getting this infection, if you get it, fast as much as you can, because that's going to help your body get over it. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad tells us in How to Eat to Live, that fasting is the cure for 90% of our ills, including infections. But the getting back to the good nutrition once you get over the acute phase is to give your body the ability to overcome the difficulty factor of the recovery phase. So I pray that I answered your first question, my sister. Now, secondly, RBHG is a long word for the medical terminology of a steroid that they use in cows, typically, to help them continue to make milk. So, yes, that is one of the questions that a person has to have in their repertoire if they go to a farm. Do you use steroids in your cows to keep them producing milk versus just milking a cow that has had a calf? So, yes, that is definitely something that you need to stay away from. But I would not be able to mention anything else about the milk unless I saw it, read the package, and or call the farm and ask some more specific questions. So, again, if you all would like to reach out to me and ask me any more questions or any specific questions, go to The Ultimate Wellness Group on Facebook, T-H-E-E Ultimate Wellness Group, and send me a message, and I will do the best I can to help you with the information that you need.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I pray I answered your questions, my sister.
So we have another question. Well, we actually have a comment from Sister Lisa Muhammad. Sister Lisa, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Attorney Pamela. Thank you so much for taking my call. And thank you, our Dr. Guest, for enlightening us up with all this great information. I've been taking notes. And I just wanted to make a comment on Sister Ula's question that she had. And it came to my mind that since she has the master degree paper that she has went to school for, then the master degree will give her the determination of separation. So once she has that paperwork, she's now able to separate herself from the things that she has learned in that college or university or wherever she went to get that important document. And so now her people need to know the real truth on how to combat anything that may come across them in a more separation way. And when you talked about the murder, and it just came to my mind that the doctors, they can murder you without even giving you any injection, without giving you a pill, without giving you anything. They can just have something said in your mind, and your mind will start to shut down and kill us within. So that was really enlightening to me to hear where the doctors are just saying something to us, and we start to murder ourselves by just what we have heard. And you remember in Closing the Gap, the Honorable Minister said that we could say something to a patient in his ear that is positive, and it would bring them back and restore them back to good health. So they know what they're doing. I just wanted to make that comment. And if you have anything else to add to it, I would love to hear it. And thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, walaikum salam. I just quickly, that point that you make is absolutely imperative that we consider these things, right? Because 800 seconds or 5 minutes and 20 seconds, we can say inspiring, God-centered words and raise the spirit of a person. And so it's exactly the opposite. You go to a doctor because you are vulnerable. You go to a doctor because you are ignorant to a certain degree. You go to a doctor because you're expecting this person to give you some life-saving information. But yet these crooked demons out here, many of them not knowing that they've been made into that, say words that take you in an opposite spirit of raising you. And that's what you continue to do because you never recover from it. So I just wanted to mention that because your point is excellent, but we have to all be careful because not only can it happen in the medical field, but that can happen with your so-called friends, your family members, and things that they say and things that people do around you, hypocrites, haters, people that are envious, people that are jealous. These type of things murder our spirits as well. And so we have to be very careful of our environment, our surroundings, and the people that we're allowing into our vicinity in this day and time, because I don't know if many of you heard about the young lady in New York that used to be, I think, Miss USA or something like that, but she was a news anchor, seemingly had her life together and doing well. And she jumped out the window at her high-rise building in New York and committed suicide. And, you know, this is happening on a consistent basis that people are committing suicide. And then they're going back and they're finding out that these people have written, you know, notes or have communicated that they were being bullied on social media. People were saying things that were decreasing their spirit and their confidence. And so we have to be very careful in this day and time when there is so much negativity on this planet Earth, and there's so many people out here that do not see any future because their minds are totally tied up into the enemy who's being murdered by Allah. I hope we're paying attention to world weather and world news, right? Because there are floods all over the world, volcanoes all over the world. There are earthquakes all over the world. There's snow and other weather-related things that haven't been this bad since the 1800s. Master Farb Muhammad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad are tearing this world apart. And those of us that believe in Master Farb Muhammad, and we say that we follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Louis Farrakhan, we should have hope that we're going to make it because we do believe. And so at the same time we have that hope, we can't get ourselves tied up in these people that don't have hope because they can pull us down and murder our spirit, and we will wind up not being prepared to make it through these times. So I think you made an excellent point, sister. I just wanted to add that. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And right now we have on the line our sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, who is the national spokesperson for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the host of the Elevated Places show, Ask Dr. Ava. So, Dr. Ava, assalamu alaikum.
Oh, wa alaikum salam. This is a wonderful program, and of course I'm an admirer of both Dr. Akili and Attorney Warren, and listen to them, take guidance from them both. And two things I wanted to share on the issue of the pure milk that we do have in the Nation of Islam, 1 meal a day farms in North Carolina. And hopefully I can get some contact information for you. Brother Brandon and his wife have a dairy farm, and
once a month on Tuesdays, Elevated Places also sponsors a Zoom program where we showcase Black people, both registered and non-registered in the nation, who have gone out and acquired land. And it's amazing, the separation movement is literally taking place. As Dr. Achille just said, the God and the Christ are tearing this country apart, and it's making room for a new reality. And but they raise dairy cows in the appropriate way. And I have never heard such detailed, you can pull it up in the archives on the Thursday night Elevated Places program. I've never heard such detail and such science underlying the proper way you raise cows and ensure that you are in fact getting the milk that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad characterized as pure and the Holy Quran as pure milk. And I'm taking notes. But brother, Dr. Achille, I wanted to get your comments as things continue to unfold. And I've heard you address it a little bit, but every time I hear you, you have more and more depth. But on everything, but on the subject of the COVID-19 testing. And, recently, of course, we know the Biden administration has saturated the landscape with 500 million COVID tests. And if you could give us some context for this testing, it could be appreciated. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Pam.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Sister Dr. Ava. Especially
yes,
for the compliment. The first thing that I will say about the testing is that just like these new medications and the so-called vaccines, all of the tests are emergency use authorization as well. So none of them have been scientifically studied to be accurate. Based on my research, the best of the tests, which there are many companies out here producing them, and a lot of times the company, even in particular places, you will have a different exchange of companies that are producing ones for particular places. But we can only rely on these things at about a 40% success rate. So think about that, brothers and sisters, that when you go and you take a test, you can only rely on 40%. So that means that 60%+ of the tests are potentially giving you false positives or false negatives.
Yes,
so we're
sir.
Really dealing with a reality that we can't rely on. There's no reality to it. That's the first point that I would like to make. The second point that I would like to make is, of course, right in line with Sister Dr. Avon and what she sent out to us, in that if we just look at what I said earlier, in that the majority of the Black doctors, and when I say majority, I would probably say high 90% of the Black doctors in this country that as Black people we think we can rely on and have confidence in, they haven't read Medical Apartheid. That's too much pain to go through, because if you read Medical Apartheid, you have to start questioning everything. I always use this as an analogy. If I grew up in my household and my father told me every day, now this is not the average conversation. I'm talking about like looking up to your daddy like he's everything. That's the way I was raised thinking about my father. I thought he was nicer looking than everybody, could whoop everybody's behind, his muscles were bigger than everybody else's, and he was the smartest dude on the planet. That's the way I looked at my father.
Me too.
And so if he told me every day of my life until I left his home that the earth was flat, and then I went out in the world and I start talking with that same confidence, the earth is flat, I don't give a damn what you say, the earth is flat. Well, if I get on a space shuttle and go out in the atmosphere and look back at the earth, and now I see it that it's a sphere, Now I got to question not just the earth, but now I have to question everything that my father told me. It's going to make me question every subject matter and everything that I learned from him. So imagine that, a person that's so-called one of the highest educated people in this country, and you get to a point in your career, you go read something like medical apartheid, and it starts making you question everything that you learned. These doctors aren't ready for that. They're too comfortable. They enjoy the car, the expensive car, and a nice house in probably a white neighborhood, and their school children going to private school, eventually going to prestigious colleges. You can't pull these black people out of this this dream world that they so-called are living. All of them in pain, marriages falling apart, drinking every damn day or smoking some stuff. Them people are not happy. They're putting out that image that they are.
Yes,
so I'm just posing an idea, right, that these doctors are falling for the vaccine, the medications, and these tests as if these things are reliable, and they are not. They have not been tested. They're still emergency use authorized. And until these tests can be adequately studied, which sometimes takes years, we don't have any ability to be able to say, okay, I'm going to go get a test and I'm going to rely on this. No, the likelihood in 2022 that if you get a viral infection, which most of us know the difference between a viral infection versus getting some type of a bacterial infection. But if you get a viral infection, it's almost improbable that it's not the COVID infection.
Yes, sir.
And so I think we have to take that information and act appropriately. We have to be very responsible not to be the one that's spreading it or making sure that we're taking care of ourselves enough so that if we are exposed and we do get it, that our body is strong enough to get over it. But honestly, right here and right now, Sister Dr. Ava, I can't say anything other than that about the test because there are a thousand more questions about the test than there are any actual facts that we know about it. But I will say this as an actual fact. You'd be crazy as hell to trust something coming from that crazy man up there in that damn White House.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Thank
That's
you.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Go ahead, Brother Warren. Go right ahead.
Oh, I was going to kind of come from a different angle because Akilah has used the word, and some of the people who called in have used the word murder a number of times in relation to these medical providers and medical treatment. And which kind of leads into an area that I do get involved in is that a lot of people don't realize the extent to which people are literally getting killed in the hospitals.
Mm. Yes.
And much of it goes unreported, unnoted, and people don't know what happened to their loved one, just that they died. You know, because one of the things in doing research, there's not a law that I know of on the books that compels a doctor to disclose their mistake or their errors to you or the patient or the family. Most times those errors are only uncovered in the course of litigation. But if no one ask the question, or no one gets the records and have those records reviewed and digs down into it to find out what actually happened, those deaths, those murders, those errors and mistakes will get swept under the rug, and your loved one will be paralyzed or limbs amputated or dead, and no one will say anything about it. So that's why it's important. When something happens, there's a lot of grieving taking place by the person, the family, the spouse, the wife, over some of the catastrophic things happen. But somebody has to be rational enough to say, "Hey, we need to look into this." I need to get the records. I need to call an attorney or another doctor friend or someone who will pour over these records and see just actually what happened. I'm working on, and I'll close, I'm working on a case right now. We're preparing it to file suit on. But a man died, and that was clear negligence on behalf of the nurses and the doctors. They failed to insert a tube in the right place to relieve fluid, you know, in his stomach and respiratory area. And he literally choked on his own and suffocated on his own body fluid. But the spouse, the wife, was keen enough to get an independent autopsy. And when I had the records reviewed, they said that the fact that she had that autopsy, and it's right in the autopsy exactly what he died of, and that's the strength of the case that we plan to bring. But it took someone who was rational enough and sane enough, in spite of their loss and heartbreaking grief, to actually take the step to look into it. So I just wanted to bring that up as we're talking about these things that are happening to our people. In that can't get caught up just in grief. We have to be willing to be rational and take some steps to find out what happened.
And yes, see, that's the other part of the medical system right now that is obviously broken, because as more and more information comes out about what is happening in these hospitals when they are not letting family members in, is that Medicare and other insurance companies are paying exorbitant amounts of money for a person to be diagnosed with COVID. And it seems that there are incentives for people to die with COVID. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be some pretty amazing things that are going to come out eventually. But when we're looking at the reality that most of these doctors now don't have a choice, that is the fight that's happening in the medical field right now, is that doctors all across this country are becoming more and more incensed at the fact that they're not practicing medicine. In most of these hospital systems around the country, they are given COVID protocols. So if a person is admitted with COVID, I don't care if you're an internal medicine doctor, a family medicine doctor, an ICU doctor, whatever you are, emergency room physician, there are certain protocols on what you can use as a physician. So you don't even have the choice of making a decision out of your education. And the things that you learned that worked early in this pandemic doesn't necessarily mean that you'll be able to use that. The hospital and the people that are money-oriented are making the decisions for the doctors to practice following those protocols. So we have a very precarious situation that is going on, and that's why I continue to talk about prevention. If you plan on living through this pandemic, the best thing you can do is to work your behind off at keeping your health as good as you can, so you'll never have to walk your black feet into a hospital. Because once you get yourself into a hospital in 2022, the likelihood is that you will be by yourself. You won't have many choices. And if things go south, you're probably not going to make it. Those are very, very, I would say, things that we could pretty much rely on, even though there are variables in that as well. And so spend your time doing as much as you can. And so it's always necessary to remind us that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that if you eat, like he's suggesting, the best of foods, and you eat one meal a day, and you fast 2 or 3 days per month, and may I remind us that the fast is coming up this weekend, 2 or 3 days, that's what he says in the book. A lot of times we start making comments about what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says. We have to quote him. He said 2 or 3 days. A month.
Come on.
At the end of the year, you will not have enough germ in your body to keep you sick for 1 hour. Does the Honorable Elijah Muhammad know what we're going through right now? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was able to tell the minister information 30, 40, 50 years ago that are coming true today. Does that man know the wickedness of these people? Does he have the ability to give us a foundation to make it through this time? Of course he did. But he didn't stop there. He said, if you eat one meal every other day, you won't be sick for 4 to 5 years.
Come on.
Come on. He said, if you eat one meal every 3 days, you'll never be sick. So we have a blueprint to keep us and put us in a best situation to make it through these times. We have to get started as members of the Nation of Islam or people that just are sympathizers and want to use this information that we're giving to you. We have to be the stewards for our people to see that there's a better way. And what would be a more wonderful, clear message than to show our people, hey, this is how you make it through a pandemic. This is the way you should eat to not be sick. Here's the way you eat to boost your immune system. So even if you do get the infection, you'll recover quickly. Look at the way you're making it through it.
Beautiful.
You have a very big opportunity right now.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, Dr.
Not killing yourself with mask. I'm sorry. Yes. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Sister Ava. You know, we're down to 4 minutes, so
I just wanted to say real quick that.
Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am, real quick that, you know, this needs to be really stressed, and we're trying to stress this, the minister's program that he approved of. Keeping it, there are many things you can do, but he kept it very simple, starting with how to eat to live. And if you do get ill, the ivermectin or the black seed oil, et cetera. But the enemy has made mask and social distancing, which in fact the lockdowns, the complete deprivation that children suffer with these policies and protocols that Dr. Christina Parks, the microbiologist, who just laid out completely in several hearings in the state of Michigan on the harm that is done to our breathing ability, creating high blood pressure, et cetera. But I just wanted to say I love hearing the true prevention protocol is how to eat to live. So thank you again, Dr. Keeley.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sister Dr. Ava. And I wanted to take the opportunity to announce Dr. Ava's master class, and that's going to be on February the 15th. It reminds me of what you were saying, Dr. Akili, about the despair and some of the struggles that people are having, because this class is called Keep Your Head Above Water, How to Protect Your Peace, and that will be, again, on February 15th. You can go to MinisterAva.com to register and get more information. I also wanted to remind everybody to listen to Brother Minister Ishmael Muhammad's lecture from this past January 30th, Sunday. He did a lecture on the struggle of life, and it was just absolutely awesome. So we're down to 2 minutes, and Sister Ava, thank you so much again for coming on and sharing your words with us, as well as you, Dr. Akili, for coming on the show, A Time for Justice. We are so honored. And as also with you, Brother Warren, Attorney Warren, thank you for your words of wisdom and solutions. So, again, if you all want to just give the audience how they can get in contact with you, Dr. Akili, and you too as well, Brother Warren.
Yes, well, first of all, the honor was all mine because it's always a honor to be on you all's show. You can contact me at 832-429-4576. Again, that's 832-429-4576. And my weekly show, which is usually on Tuesday, is on blackstream.live/TUWG. So black-owned streaming company where I do my presentations now, blackstream.live/TUWG. So come on and join us. You know, the amazing thing about what you just said, Sister Pamela, is that I'm going to be doing a program on the 15th about suicide. And so I will definitely be mentioning your program, Sister Dr. Ava, because I from what I hear, of course, I can't take it, but I'm hearing such wonderful things. It's definitely an opportunity for many of our young people out here that are struggling in these times to have some place to go and get something that they can sink the reality of life into, and it will produce some hope and some something that will give them something to hang on to that rope of Allah with. So thank you all again.
And you know what, Dr. Akili, this show, this particular masterclass by Dr. Ava will be open for men as well as women. So, Brother Warren, give us your email real quick, and I'm going to close out the show.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you again for inviting me. Great to hear from you, Sister Dr. Ava, and I appreciate your kind words. I can be reached at Warren, W-A-R-R-E-N, at WFM. Law Firm at warren@wfmlawfirm.com.
Yes, sir. And as always, you can text, you can email me at pamlegal2000@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to the Elevated Places Network presents A Time for Justice. To hear previous shows, you can log in to the Elevated Places at blogtalkradio.com. I would like to thank the Elevated Places team. That's Sister, of course, Sister Dr. Minister Ava, Sister Donna Muhammad, Sister Rona Muhammad, my producer, Sister Samaya Muhammad. And thank you once again for listening. And tune in next week for more informative discussions. Assalamu alaikum.